Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out our past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. During today's episode, we're going to be utilizing a recent Kiplinger article that has the headline, Seven Practice Steps to Kick Off Your 2026 Financial Planning. So as 2025 draws to a close, a lot of families are doing more than just glancing at their portfolios. We're looking beyond the numbers to think about what those numbers mean for their lives, their goals, and their loved ones. So for a long time, we believe financial success was mostly measured in performance, outpacing benchmarks, growing net worth, and maximizing returns. And the landscape here has shifted. Now that One Big Beautiful Bill Act has settled key tax questions, and with inflation still cutting into buying power, many people are asking something a little bit deeper here. Do our financial strategies still reflect the kind of life we want to live? Now, this is a fair question. With the estate tax exemption now set for $15 million for 2026, a lot of uncertainty has finally lifted. Still, that clarity doesn't make the rest of the picture simple. Raising costs, unpredictable borrowing rates, and constant political headlines can make it tough to truly feel confident about the financial future. You know, it's kind of like trying to plan a picnic. You finally pick that perfect day and that weather changes. Before we get started, let me bring in my co-host, someone who's always prepared for their financial weather forecast. Jacqueline?
Wow. Well, thank you, Amanda. And as I try to be always prepared, but that just doesn't end up all, you know, how I want it. Mother Nature comes in. It's just how it works. But I think a lot of our listeners know exactly what you mean by all this. Between new laws, inflation, and uncertainty in the markets, it really does feel like the right moment to pause and make sure our financial strategies match our priorities.
That's right. So during today's episode, we're going to be utilizing a recent Kiplinger article that has the headline, Seven Practical Steps to Kick Off Your 2026 Financial Planning.
You know, Amanda, one thing that stood out to me in preparation for today's episode is how you've been talking lately about aligning wealth with life. And so what does that actually mean in practice?
Well, Jacqueline, that's a great question. So for a long time, people have viewed financial success mostly through the lens of numbers. So that could be returns, tax savings, or hitting certain net worth goals. But really, success isn't just about how much you accumulate. It's about whether your money is actually supporting that kind of life you want to live in retirement.
Okay, so it's not just spreadsheets and account balances. It's purpose.
Yes, well stated. So I'll give you an example here. The article headlines a financial services professional who recently worked with a couple in their second marriage. So each had children from previous relationships, and their big concern was making sure their estate didn't accidentally cause conflict down the road. They wanted to provide for each other during their lifetime, but also make sure assets went to their own children and grandchildren as they intended.
Okay, so that's a situation a lot of blended families can relate to, trying to take care of everyone fairly without creating tension.
Right, and there's no single formula for that. So in their case, they used trust and gave each other's spouse financial security while ensuring their legacy were preserved for their right heirs. What stood out wasn't just about the technical design here. It was the increased financial confidence it gave each other. They could finally stop worrying about the what-if scenarios and start focusing on actually enjoying life together.
Well, that's pretty powerful. And it sounds like what they really gained wasn't just, you know, more thorough, enhanced planning, but really the confidence and the clarity.
Yes, and that sense of confidence is what many clients are ultimately seeking here. So many people build wealth and then realize the numbers alone don't create fulfillment. The turning point usually comes when they start asking, what is this money really there for?
And the answers to that are probably different for everyone.
Yes, they are, Jacqueline. So for some, it's about making memories with family by traveling, celebrating milestones, or spending more time together. But for others, it's about supporting a cause or helping future generations get started on the right foot. When wealth aligns with purpose, the strategy becomes more than financial. It becomes deeply personal.
But money can also be tricky, right? I mean, families don't always see eye to eye on these kinds of things.
That's true. So spouses often have different money stories based on how they grew up. So one might value savings. The other might see money as a tool for enjoyment. Children, too, may assume their parents' assets are their inheritance and they're waiting for them. So instead of a resource meant to support, the parents own their goals.
So the key here is communication.
For sure. So having open, honest conversations, whether it's a casual talk at the dinner table or a structured family meeting, can make all the difference here. So explaining why certain decisions are made can help reduce uncertainty and builds trust, even you're not dealing with every single detail or sharing every detail.
And it's not just about the family harmony, Amanda. Financial stress itself can take a toll on health and happiness. I know for myself, I can get physically ill if I'm stressed about finances.
Yes, and I often see that too with many clients. So people who overwork to accumulate more or overspend trying to keep up with appearance sometimes ends up sacrificing their well-being here. So when your financial choices actually line up with your values, whether it's education, travel, or simply slowing down to enjoy life, you might create more stability, but also a richer, healthier quality of life.
And that's such a great reminder because money is a tool. It's not a trophy.
I agree completely here. So when you treat it that way, it becomes easier to build a strategy that serves your life instead of the other way around.
Okay, so let's talk about turning all of this reflection into action. For anyone listening who's thinking, okay, I get it. I want my finances to align with my life, but what do I do next? You know, where should they start, Amanda?
That's a terrific question. Because redefining financial success isn't just about your mindset here. It's about putting a few intentional steps into place as we head into 2026. A little reflection combined with some clear action can bring a lot of clarity both in your goals and how you communicate those goals with your family.
Well, okay, so what's step number one?
So first step is start by clarifying your values. It sounds simple, but it's one of the most powerful things you can do here. So take a few minutes to actually write down the principles that guide your financial decisions, things like financial security, charitable giving, lifestyle goals, or even leaving a legacy.
Absolutely. So almost like creating a mission statement for your money.
Exactly. That list becomes your personal filter for every financial choice you make here. So when you know what truly matters most, it's much easier to align your strategy and to say yes or no to opportunities with confidence.
I like that. It takes the pressure off chasing every new idea or market swing and brings the focus back to purpose.
I think that's right. And when purpose drives your strategy, you're not just reacting to what happens, you're steering your financial life with intention.
So step one is about clarifying your values or what really matters most to you. So what comes next?
So step two is to prioritizing your objectives. So once you've got that list of values, it's time to separate your must-haves from your nice-to-haves.
it's kind of like building a financial version of a grocery list, because some things are essentials and others are just good to have if there's room in the cart. But I seem to think that Oreos are on the essential list.
Yes, and you got it. So, for example, funding your children's education or maintaining long-term financial security might be non-negotiable. A vacation home or luxury upgrades might fall into the nice-to-have category. Both can be meaningful, but they shouldn't compete for the same dollars here.
And that makes sense. I guess if you try to chase every goal at once, it's easy to lose sight of what's most important.
Prioritizing helps prevent those competing goals from your strategy. It's not about cutting dreams out here. It's about subsequenting them in a way that keeps your strategy realistic and sustainable.
Well, yeah, and it's probably a lot less stressful too.
Absolutely. And when you know which goals actually come first, your decisions get even simpler and your progress feels a lot more intentional.
Yes. And before we keep going with today's conversation, Amanda, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you and your team, you know, to ask questions and or for help building their financial strategy?
Certainly. Just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to help work around your schedule.
Perfect. Amazing. All right. So we've clarified our values and set our priorities. Now, what's the third step?
So step three is to define your legacy. And this one often sparks the deepest conversations here.
Legacy meaning who gets what after you're gone?
That's part of it, but it's actually broader than that. So legacy isn't just about who is your heirs to your assets. It's about who you want to be remembered and what impact you hope to leave behind.
It's more like the story people tell you about, not just the balance sheet.
Yes, and for some, that might mean creating family traditions that carry on through generations. For others, it could be supporting a charity, mentoring the next generation, or establishing a trust that continues to make a difference long after you're gone.
I love that perspective, Amanda, because it turns building a strategy from something purely financial into something meaningful and lasting.
That's the goal. So when you define your legacy intentionally, your wealth becomes more than just numbers here. It becomes a reflection of your values and your life's purpose.
Yeah, and we've clarified values now, set priorities, and defined legacy. And that's a pretty meaningful list already. So what do we have to add here?
So step four is to actually engage a financial services professional. And this is where everything may start to come to get together.
So meaning someone who looks at more than just investment performance, right?
Exactly. So a financial services professional doesn't just focus on your portfolio returns. They help you look at the full picture here. So that'll include your taxes, enhanced planning documents, insurance needs, even family dynamics. All of those factors often are your overview of well-being and long-term confidence.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a financial quarterback, someone who can coordinate all those moving parts for you.
That's a great analogy. You want an advisor who asks questions that go beyond the numbers. Things like, what does security mean to you? Or how do your financial choices actually reflect your values? When an advisor understands both your goals and your motivations, they can actually build a strategy that truly supports your life.
Yeah, it sounds like an experienced financial services professional becomes not just a strategy, but a guide.
That's right. The best strategy, building relationships are collaborative. You bring your vision, they bring the expertise to help you make that vision work in real life.
I love that. All right, so now we've made it to step five. What is this piece of the puzzle?
So step five is to schedule a family conversation. It might sound simple here, but that's one of the most meaningful steps you can actually take here.
So you mean actually sitting down with your spouse and family members to talk through your strategies?
You nailed it. So bring your spouse, your children, your or even future heirs into this discussion, not necessarily to share every number or document, but to talk about what matters to you. That one conversation can ease a lot of tension and prevent misunderstanding later on.
And I can imagine it also helps set expectations so that people aren't surprised or guessing at your intentions.
When families talk openly about priorities, values, and goals, it builds understanding. So everyone gets on the same page. And it's much easier to preserve harmony when the time comes to put those strategies into action.
Yeah, and I'm guessing those talks don't have to be formal or awkward. It can just be over dinner or during a family gathering, which now with the Christmas coming up and the holidays coming up, it's a great chance to get everyone together and have this conversation.
That's right. The settings doesn't nearly matter as much as the message here. Here's what's important to me and here's why. Those are the conversations that strengthen relationships and give financial strategies lasting meaning.
Absolutely. It seems like open communication and communication is really the foundation to any relationship. So now it's on to step six, Amanda.
So step six is to actually check your alignment annually. This is part many people overlook, and it's really where long-term success often happens.
So like a yearly checkup for your financial health.
Yep, at least once a year. So take some time to revisit your goals and see how they line up with your current financial strategy. Because here's the thing, life changes and tax laws shift, markets move, family priorities involvement change, and your strategy should involve too.
Absolutely. We like to say that some things are written in pencil. So even the best strategy can drift off course if you don't review it regularly.
And those annual reviews don't have to be complicated. They're simply an opportunity to ask, is this strategy still serving the life I want to live? If the answer is yes, great. And if not, make the necessary adjustments and keep moving forward with confidence.
So really, it's not about perfection. It's about staying intentional.
That's right. It's about staying engaged so that your strategy remains a living, breathing reflection of your goals, not just a stack of papers in a drawer.
Absolutely. So Amanda, what's the final step in this process?
So step seven is to watch for any red flags. And these show up in ways that have nothing to do with the numbers on a statement.
So what kind of red flags should people be looking for?
Things like tension or avoided family conversation about money or stress that starts to affect your health and financial confidence. Another big one is when you can't clearly answer the question, what is this money really there for? If you're not sure, that's a sign it's time to pause and realign.
Yeah, and that means it's less about catching mistakes and more about staying self-aware.
That's correct, because none of this is about perfection. It's about being intentional. The goal isn't just to grow the largest portfolio here. It's about to create a financial life that helps support your well-being today and in the years ahead.
I like that. Success defined by confidence about the future, not just performance.
Yep. And now as we step into 2026, it's worth redefining financial success in broader terms with things like family harmony, health, fulfillment, and legacy here. So when your financial strategy aligns with those priorities, wealth becomes more than just measured success here. It becomes a tool for building a more meaningful, balanced life.
So Amanda, we've talked a lot about reflection and alignment today, but let's say someone's been managing their finances on their own up to this point by maybe using online tools, AI, or doing their own research. Why might 2026 be the right time to start working with a financial advisor?
That's a great question. So a lot of people have done a solid job managing things independently, especially with all the digital tools out there. But in 2026 and how it's shaping up to be a year of transition between new tax structures under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and potential changes in interest rates and involving estate laws, the financial landscape is getting more complicated. So having a financial services professional by your side can actually help you navigate all those things with much more confidence.
Right, because it's not just about managing investments anymore. It's about keeping up with everything that affects those investments.
And An experienced financial services professional doesn't just look at your returns. They look at that full picture, your goals, your family, your tax exposure, even your stress level around money. For someone who is stepping into that kind of relationship for the first time, 2026 could be the ideal moment to start fresh with that strategy that reflects where life and the laws are headed.
I guess that a lot of people hesitate because they think that they need to have a certain amount of wealth before it makes sense.
That's a common misconception. So the right time to seek advice isn't when you've made it, but when your financial life starts to feel more complicated than if you want to manage it alone. Maybe you've changed jobs, started a business, inherited assets, or even just trying to balance savings, spendings, and giving wisely. A financial strategy professional can help simplify that complexity.
Yeah, and probably provide an extra dose of confidence too.
Absolutely. So having someone who understands your goals and keeps you accountable to them can relieve a lot of pressure here. It's about building a partnership that keeps your strategy applicable as life evolves.
Ultimately, Amanda, if our listeners or you've never worked with a financial professional, 2026 could be an ideal time to start building that foundation.
Yep. It's a chance to move from hoping your strategy works to knowing it's built to support the life you want.
Yes. Well, Amanda, we've had an outstanding show today. Any final thoughts or info before we close?
If you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you protect your savings and feel confident about the road ahead.
Well, thanks for joining us today, listeners, for another episode of Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management and me, your co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill.
Join us next time for another great episode.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.